Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and Hardwood Paroxysm. Today is Wednesday. We're going to recap last night's Cavaliers-Wizards game for you. And today I'm joined actually in studio. He'll be on today and he'll be on tomorrow when we talk about the NBA GM survey. It's Fear the Sword's newest writer. He's also an Ohio Bobcat, which is pretty dope. It's Michael Drapjo. Mike, what's up, buddy?
Not much, man. I'm just glad to be part of the Fear the Sword staff and be on this nice podcast right here, dude. Yeah,
it's good to have you on. Mike is someone I was on his, in the turn of events, I was on his, the radio show he produced at college at Ohio University. We're both OU alums, so go Bobcats forever, as I've already said like twice, because OU is the best place ever. And Mike, just so people know where they can find you on Twitter, we're just going to get this out of the way, because you are Fear the Sword's news writer. Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can check me out at M_Drapcho, which is DRAPCHO21.
Yeah, so make sure you follow Mike. Again, Fear the Sword's newest writer. So make sure you check out his stuff. He's been writing. You wrote something a couple weeks ago. I can't remember.
It was the JR piece for Cavs Rank.
Yeah, so he ranked JR, and then he wrote a recap, and he's working on some other stuff, as we all are, so make sure you check that out. But we're here to recap the Cavaliers-Wizards game. The Cavs lost 96-91 in their preseason finale. It was in Columbus, which is always a cool environment. I was there last year, and the Columbus crowd really responds to the Cavs, and specifically LeBron. But LeBron really enjoys playing in that environment. And if you're looking at things that are notable from this game, J.R. Smith made his debut, scored 4 points in 12 minutes on 1-of-4 shooting, including 1-of-3 from three. Tristan Thompson played really a very great 23 minutes, 6-of-6 from the field, 14 points, 10 rebounds. LeBron played a very effective 26 minutes, 8 of 13 from the field, 2 of 4 from the line, which isn't great, 18 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, and a great block of Kelly Oubre. Kevin Love looked comfortable. Amon Shumpert, I thought, looked really what good. And Kyrie Irving, as you probably know, did leave the game. It looks like it's not a serious injury. It looks like a calf strain. Looks like they were just being cautious. He did not come back. Only played 10 minutes, 0 points, 0 of 3 from the field. And they lost, and they didn't play anybody big down the stretch. Played all the reserves that are fighting for a roster spot, and they lost, and now they won't play for a week, and this is basically like a half dress rehearsal. So, Mike, you look at this game, you look at how it kind of played out, and it's preseason basketball, so it is lower quality. It is not the the peak of NBA basketball. What's the first thing you took away from this game?
I mean, watching at least just the first half, the first thing that jumped out to me was how fresh LeBron looked. He looked like he's ready to go for the regular season. He jumped one pass and took it for a layup, and then the dunk where he went coast to coast right down the middle and threw it down with two hands. That guy, and the block that you mentioned that was reminiscent of
of his block on Andre Iguodala in the finals. Yeah,
that it looked like we have a healthy, focused LeBron ready for this regular season. And then on top of that, Kevin Love was effective and hit some open shots tonight, which was a nice thing to see.
Yeah, I think for me, this the big thing I took away, Amon Shumpert to me was the big guy that I was really impressed by, but Kevin Love is another really good example. I don't know if it's because the Cavs won the finals. I don't know if this is just a thing I'm reading too much into, but his body language just looks better in the preseason. Like, he looks happier. I remember last year, they played in Sacramento, and there was this game where he hit this three, and JR and Kyrie did the guitar celebrations, and Kevin Love just looks almost depressed, like walking up the court. He looks miserable. He just looked frustrated all the time. Right now, he looks like a happy human being. His body language is better. He looks more comfortable on the floor. He just looks a little more energetic. And that's a really big thing.
And I don't think you're reading into that at all, because I remember earlier in the preseason, someone asked him, you know, how he felt about his fit with the Cavs, and in a bit of colorful language, he said that he didn't really care about it.
Yeah.
And I think this is definitely the most confident Kevin Love that we will see in a Cavs uniform.
Yeah, I think at the very least, he just seems just like happier and just seems, I mean, you know, these things do take time. I mean, even...
And we've said it how many times, Chris Bosh...
Yeah.
It took him a while to adjust playing with LeBron in Miami.
Well, even with Wade, I mean, this isn't like a new idea, and like the true guys recently talked about this, but Dwayne Wade and LeBron James are basically like best friends. Like LeBron, they're such good friends that LeBron knows what to order Dwayne for dinner better than Dwayne Wade's wife, Gabrielle Union, does.
It's a true bromance.
It's a true bromance to like the utmost degree. But it took them like a year and a half for Wade to really be comfortable ceding so much to LeBron. And if you're Kevin Love, yes, like, you know that when you come to the Cavs, like, you're going to say, and you know that you're not going to get as many touches, that your role in the offense is going to be very different than what he had in Minnesota. But even if that's the case, and even if you, like, mentally, like, say, okay, I'm ready for it, it's a very different thing to go through that and to kind of go through the thing. And then maybe if the personalities aren't exactly lining up how you thought they might, and you're not really always feeling the most comfortable, that can be a very hard transition. And maybe the title... you know, the team seeming to get along really well, and then him having that extension and him really seeming a big part of this team over the next year. Maybe he is just in a better mental place this year. And I mean, in reality, the title sort of just opens up so many more positive doors for this team.
Oh, absolutely. I'm with you on every point you just made. Could not agree more.
Yeah. So before we get into Shump a little bit, because he was my big winner this night, let's talk about JR. 12 minutes. 1 of 4 from the floor, as I said, 1 of 3 shooting, 1 of 2 from the line, 1 turnover, 4 points, just kind of not, you know, like not a normal JR game. We knew he was going to play a limited number of minutes. We knew he wasn't going to be the best JR because he's working back into full game shape, he said to himself, and this is his first game, and he just started practicing like a day or two ago, and after he signed his deal over the weekend, so... I don't have any really big issue with how he played. I don't think it'd be unfair to expect a lot out of him in this first preseason game.
Right, this was pretty much par for the course as far as first preseason game, and after coming out of a holdout, you can't have high expectations for a guy like that. Though, I will say JR is the kind of guy that I feel like could shake that rust off quick if he gets into game shape physically. I feel like he could shake that rust off quickly just because he's the kind of guy that once he gets hot, he can get really hot.
Yeah, and I think it's also fair to say that the J.R. Smith we have in Cleveland, I think, is different than the perception of J.R. Smith. I think, as we've kind of learned in the past 2 years, he is more complicated than I think people will give him credit for. I mean, I know he does very goofy stuff. Like, right before he got traded to the Cavs was when he was untying other players' shoes when they were in the free throw line. He was, like, just goofing around. And he's J.R. Smith. He's going to do stuff from time to time that is just a little bit out there. But he's more of a professional, and I think people give him credit for. I mean, if you follow him all summer, this is a guy who got married. He was just focused on getting paid and just kind of took time. But he also, you saw him all the time. He was in the gym. He was working out. And even when he wasn't signed the past 2 weeks, he was in Cleveland.
Right.
Hanging out with the team, hanging out with LeBron. And even if he wasn't, like, signed with the team and signed and doing everything that he would do in training camp, we have no proof of this. There's no way he was not, like, under the impression of knowing what was going on, because I think everyone assumed he was coming back.
Yeah, he knew he was going to be with the Cavs. The Cavs knew he was going to be with them. It was just a matter of time and sorting things out. And, like you mentioned, it wasn't a case where he was just resting and sitting the whole time. He was working out. He was working on his game. He was in the gym. So, yes, there is definitely going to be an adjustment period of just playing NBA basketball again. But I don't think it's going to be one that necessarily takes a ton of time an adjustment that's going to take a ton of time for him to get back to regular form.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to take him, you know, a super long amount of time. I think that... I think because he didn't come in the night before the season, a la Tristan Thompson last year,
right.
He's got a little over a week to get back into full-on game shape, and that's enough. You don't necessarily need him to be, and you don't also need him to be in peak shape on day one.
No.
Like, you don't.
I mean, and at this point, he's a three-point specialist, so
yeah,
that's something. Shoot or shoot, he'll find his stroke at some point.
Yeah, there's anything we know about JR, he will shoot, and he's going to shoot until his stroke is all the way there, because, you know, JR is...
That's just him.
JR is JR. So to turn to Iman Shumpert, you look at his numbers, and they weren't particularly...
Kind of struggled shooting tonight.
Like, yeah, 23 minutes, almost 23 points would have been great. 2-9 from the field, didn't make a 3, but he had 6 rebounds, he had 5 assists, he had a steal... and 3 turnovers, so, you know, not necessarily the best ratio, but, like, pretty good. Only played a plus-minus of -1, and yes, single-game plus-minuses are goofy, I know. 4 points, but...
Plus some of the lineups he was playing with towards the end aren't lineups he's going to be playing with regularly.
Right. But you look at what he did as sort of the backup point guard in this game. Obviously, you know, Kay Felder is going to be listed as the Kyrie's backup on the depth chart. But I think Shumpert, if tonight is any indication, as Tyronn Lue said, it was a walkthrough of some kind, I think he's going to play some of these minutes where he's the functioning as the one. And if tonight's an indication, I don't think they're going to ask him to do too much. I don't think they're going to try to overload him and make him fill Kyrie's exact role, because that would be dumb, because he's not Kyrie.
And he doesn't have that skill set.
He doesn't have that skill set as a creator or a shooter or just... You know,
the offensive player, like, period.
Literally nothing. Not even in the same stratosphere as Kyrie's offensive ability. But he can do things. He can make these simple reads where he can find a popping Channing Frye. When he's on offense, he can cut off the ball. And one of the things I really liked is there was a point where he was on the floor with J.R. Smith, Mike Dunleavy, LeBron, and Channing Frye. I love that lineup as a bench mobby lineup with maybe if McRae proved himself, you could give J.R. some rest there. But I like that lineup because, for one, you have 3 really good shooters on the floor. And when you have LeBron and shooters, defenses are screwed. Like, there are very few defenses that have the ability to handle that. But when Shump's on the floor with that many shooters, A, defenses are going to give him a little bit more freedom because they're going to have to focus on closing out on JR and Channing Frye and Dunleavy. He can function as your center almost, because he can cut, he can get to the rim, and he doesn't necessarily need to be on the perimeter because, like, someone else is inside. I think there are really unique ways to use him in those situations, and his shooting wasn't great. You know, the 3 turnovers is a lot if he's going to be your backup point guard and playing 20 minutes, and maybe it's 10 minutes in that role, but I like some of what I saw tonight.
Yeah, I agree, and I think this is a really good regular season lineup, one that you can throw out there, take the load off Kyrie, take the load off LeBron handling the ball, but... Come postseason time, I have a hard time seeing them putting Shump as point guard. I think, you know, you'll have LeBron and Kyrie handling most of the ball handling duties. But like I said, during the regular season, this is a great way to save some minutes. And, you know, you use Shump in a way that I don't think many people thought of using him.
Yeah. I think 2 things here. One, even in the regular season, LeBron's probably the functioning backup point guard anyway. I think at the end of the day, he will, like, do that. Even if it's, like, the nominally Shum's going to defend ones. LeBron's going to do a lot of distribution, too. I don't think it's a bad thing to try and push Shumpert to develop in that way. I think this is a very big year for his career. I think he has a lot to prove after last year's maybe the worst year of his career, shot under 30% from 3 and was hurt and everything. He has an opportunity to really prove himself, so... that's certainly one way he could do it, and I would expect him to play a similar role like the rest of the year, especially if Kay Felder's only going to play 9 minutes tonight, or he's going to rack up DNPs. There's no one else on the roster, especially if they're saying Jordan McRae is not going to play that role at all. Like, they said that experiment is over, as you've heard on the show several times. Shumpert is the guy there. Like, I think he's your only option.
Yeah, he's your only choice.
So, looking at the next week, the Cavs obviously now have a full 7 days off until they play the Knicks on opening night. They're also going to have to trim their roster down to 15 or whatever, how many players they're going to have during that time. Mike, you look at who played tonight. DeAndre Liggins, McRae, who I think we assume is going to be in the team, John Holland, Corey Jefferson, Jonathan Holmes, the guys that are competing for roster spots. Dante Jones didn't play. He maybe is going to get cut, but he's also a veteran that they really like. Did anyone stand out to you when you look at who played tonight or over the course of the preseason at all?
No one really stood out tonight. I think we would both agree that these fringe guys all kind of all struggled, and it kind of, especially towards the end, it felt like someone was trying to make that play to separate themselves, say, hey, I made this big play at the end of the game, this will go to helping me make the team.
It was incredibly sloppy basketball the last 5 minutes.
It was a lot of hero ball with a few heroes, but overall, I think they're going to end up playing it safe and keeping Dante Jones around again. He, like you said, he didn't play tonight, but he fits in well with the team. You know, you look around, he's in all the pictures of the guys at Indians games and on Instagram and things like that. And like you said, there's that familiarity factor. He went through the playoff run with them, and there's an established rapport there, and they already like Dante. And I don't think any of these guys really separated themselves that much where they said, oh, we have to keep that guy.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's an issue with using a roster spot on him instead of maybe a guy like Liggins, who maybe, you know, I'm not sure he's actually a good NBA player, but he's younger and theoretically offers more as an actual NBA player, even if it's just marginal. Or do you think there's an issue with having a guy like Jones take up a roster spot?
Not necessarily. Actually, you pointed out earlier when we were talking during the game, at this point with DeAndre Liggins, we should know whether he's an NBA player or not. He's past the developmental stage of his career. Either he's an NBA guy or he's not. And if he's still on the fringe, I personally would rather take a guy like Dante Jones, who I said has that familiarity, has been in the Cavs system, been in the Cavs organization, than introduce a new guy that really hasn't proven himself as an NBA player after, you know, several chances with several teams.
I agree. I mean, he played with LeBron's Heat. A couple of years on those teams, didn't play much, and there's not a lot there. Markel Brown's another guy. I was really high on him coming into camp because he's athletic, and I think there's a skill set there.
He was the only guy that caught my eye when the Cavs first picked him up.
Yeah, but he only played 6 minutes in the preseason finale, 2 points. He didn't do anything in the preseason. He had one really nice dunk, but he didn't do anything overall that I think really solidified himself. But it'll be interesting to see what they do. As we kind of wrap this up, we're going to do, as a programming note, during the season, we're going to try to do some more game recaps. We're not going to always do them. If it's a weekend game, and it's a Saturday game, we're not going to have a podcast on Sunday because we're Monday through Friday. And not every game is going to be, you know, worth recapping because there are 82 games is a lot. And there's going to be games where, you know, it is what it is. We need to
nothing
talk about
stands out.
There's maybe something more fun we need to talk about. Like if Kyrie's having a really good stretch, we're going to break that down. But this is, you know, we want to talk about games. Let's see, Mike, we'll just real quick. What was your favorite? If you're going to pick your favorite moment of this preseason game, what would it be?
I think it has to be LeBron's coast to coast dunk. Yeah. And anytime you see him get a full head of steam, go down right down the lane and throw it down with two hands, I mean, how can you not love that?
Yeah, I think that would be my pick too. The block was also great because it's so mirrored the block he had in the finals.
On Iggy, yeah, that's true.
And that was pretty cool. JR's first three was also a pretty cool moment because seeing JR hit threes in a Cavs uniform is never not going to be one of the funniest, kind of the funniest things because it's freaking JR Smith. Yeah. And JR Smith is the best. If you were going to just look at anything, is there anything negative that you saw that you would say you want to see if they're going to tackle next week, or is it just preseason, none of this matters? Because that's kind of where I'm at. I almost think like it doesn't matter, and it's almost like part of the regular season I'm going to be like, this doesn't matter, because I know they're going to change in April.
Honestly, I was just going to say the same thing. At this point with the preseason, I'm like, you know what, they got their minutes in, that's that. It doesn't really matter much, and I don't want to say the first half of the regular season, but a good chunk of the first half of the regular season is largely inconsequential simply because this team is all about the postseason. And once they get there, that's what they're building towards all year. They're going to be resting guys. They're going to be, you know, making sure they're ready for the postseason. So right now and even into the beginning of the regular season, not high priority and not high concern.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you on that. This is just a game in a that doesn't matter. LeBron really only played in this game because it was in Columbus because he likes playing in that environment. I mean, he photoshopped himself into an Ohio State jersey and put it on Instagram before this all got going. So, it's not something that's super high priority. They're not going to play a ton, and they're not going to put in a ton of effort into it. this was the last preseason game, though, so we will not have another game until next Tuesday. I, for one, and I'm sure I speak for Mike on this, am very excited about regular season basketball being back preseason basketball is not great, and it no one really enjoys preseason basketball.
No.
But we're, you know, we're still happy to pot about it. We're still happy to talk about it because basketball is the best.
Absolutely. We were even saying, you know, as much as postseason baseball has been fun and as great as this Indians, you know, run is, I think we're both more excited about the Cavs starting simply because it's basketball again.
Yeah, it is basketball. That, and then we're going to be here daily for you once the season starts again. We're Monday through Friday, going to always be here when you wake up for you to listen to something about the Cavs. So, Mike, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can check me out at m_drapcho21. You can get all my basketball, sports, and weird music takes right there.
Yeah, definitely give Mike a follow. Really good follow. Glad I have him in for the sword. You can find me on Twitter at CWMWrites. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Lockdown Cavs. You can find us on Facebook at Lockdown Cavs. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, basically almost anywhere you listen to podcasts. Find us. If you are so inclined and you like the show, please go give us a rating and review on iTunes. 5 stars. It'll help other people find the show. I actually forgot to do this yesterday, so I will do this for Friday's show because just whatever. But I will read a review of someone who gives us a really good review on iTunes, and I will give them a shout-out on the show. Just go leave us a review, and maybe you'll be the first one I read this coming Friday. You can find us on Fear the Sword. All you got to do is find the Locked on Cavs tab on the site. Go to FanRag Sports. We're going to be on the Cavs page there. You can find us basically almost anywhere you go on the internet. You're going to find the Locked on Network. Find Locked on Cavs. And, you know, we're getting daily. Check us out every day. We're going to be here for you. The season is starting. I'm excited. So for me, for Mike, for Locked on Cavs, for the whole Locked on Network, this has been today's episode. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And Mike will be back tomorrow because we're going to talk about the NBA's GM survey. So come back then.